I'm Becky Lawrence. I work for St Mark's Church,
Nice.
youth and children's worker here in Milton Keynes. I also am founder and director of Youth Work Plus, which is a fairly new ministry. We've been around a year, supporting youth and children's leaders and volunteers and staff.
I'm Ollie. I'm a youth worker and I've been a youth worker in my church in Ensham, which is just outside Oxford, and I've been there for years. I also work part-time for the Diocese of Oxford, and I'm a volunteer at Youth Work Plus and met Youth Work Plus through my diocese work.
Cool, thanks, Ollie. This is our very first podcast for Youth Work Plus, and we're sort of at a bit of a weird time, aren't we, with the pandemic at the moment, where we're sort of coming out of lockdown three. The word unprecedented has been said so many times over the last year. That is sort of one of those words that you like have a little bit of a cringe when you hear now. But I think like there isn't really a better word to talk about the fact that lots of things have changed over the last year, and we've had to adapt to different things, and we've been forced to do things differently, and we haven't been able to do things the same because of different restrictions and stuff. And I think that has affected everybody across the board, whether you're a church, a charity, a business, a youth or kids project, whatever you are. But we also have this unique opportunity right now as we come out of lockdown three to think about what we're going to do next. And I guess that's what we want to talk about a bit today, isn't it, Ollie?
Yeah, I think there's been loads of stuff talked about in youth work circles about this kind of thing. Youthscape did a recent conference called Renew Normal, and I think it's in kind of in people's heads about what we're going to do next. And I feel like a bit like when the pandemic first started and everyone started thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Now's my chance to learn karate and become an expert in Korean, that, and now we're in that sort of stage where people are dreaming and thinking and wondering what's next. So we thought it'd be a good thing to talk about.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things I've heard as people are thinking about what comes next is this phrase of I can't wait for things to go back to normal, which is sort of that has become like my cringe phrase that I can't stand people saying, because for me, like, I kind of feel like lots of things have happened to each of us over the last year. Like we're totally different people than we were like this time last year when the pandemic was just starting and lockdown one was happening in the UK. So to even think about going back to normal, like we can't really go back there because we're in a different place as individuals. So I think like for me and my kind of mindset thinking about this stuff, like I'm kind of thinking, well, like we could try our best to go back to normal. Like, and I understand like people want a little bit of normality and they want life back like it was before. And I'm not saying that will never happen, because hopefully we will experience some sort of normality again, and there will be, a time in the future where there'll be no restrictions and stuff. But I think we also have this really unique opportunity to think about a new type of normal. Hence, like, and you mentioned Ollie, the conference last week, Youthscape did Renew Normal. Like, I guess there's something like that will resemble the old that might happen. There's like loads of opportunities for doing new stuff or somewhere in the middle, like taking the stuff that has gone well during stuff that people have been doing during the pandemic online. There's been some stuff that's been really, really good. How do we take some of that stuff forwards into whatever comes next and learn some of those lessons of the stuff that hasn't gone well and like make something that like is even better than we had before, like not just falling back into the same format, the same thing than we ha as we had before with our kids and youth work, but hey, what could this look like moving forwards?
And I agree with Becky, but I also think my cringe word is like the opposite. Going back to lockdown one, when everyone said, we're going to do all those new things, I'm going to, take up woodwork and I'm going to reinvent myself. And I mean, I bet some people did that, but I think most people didn't. How many people did do those things that we all thought we'd do if we had more time? And how many people just sort of watched a bit more Netflix? And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Like, things change and we have to adapt. And I think it'll be a bit more of a, I'm nervous that we all go in and think everything's going to be changed and we're going to have a new youth work revival. I don't think it's realistic. I think we're we're being refined. So I think we can use the time God can use it to refine what we do. And hopefully there'll be improvements. Some things won't be as good as they were before. Stuff for sure will be different. But I think, yeah, I get on like the other side, I get nervous when I hear people being like, yes, back to the new normal. And I think we're kind of saying the same thing, me and Becky, but I'm really nervous. People are going to be like, it's going to be so different, and then be all disappointed when it's kind of the same, bit worse in some ways, bit better in others, but hopefully still doing the ministry that God's called us into in the best way we can and making the most of the opportunities that we're given.
Yeah. I guess maybe it might be useful to let people know a bit about our own context and what we're planning beyond kind of loosening and restrictions, and even our thoughts on it if we haven't quite, you know, made a concrete plan yet. I don't know, what do you want to go first? What are you planning, Ollie?
I'll go first. Probably mine will be less exciting, having laid the groundwork like that. So our youth ministry, we're a kind of semi-rural context with a middle-sized youth work, and we split over small groups. So we have a small group for every year group in school, and that very naturally was easier to sustain during the lockdown, because we were in small groups when you could be face to face and you could easily jump a kind of discussion cell group thing onto Zoom, much easier than you can do a big invitational event. So that was mostly what our work looked like. We had some on a Friday night, we had a big open youth group, which was sort of outreach, but mostly church kids came, but you know, could bring their friends. And then our Sunday work, and basically mostly what's carried on is our small group work, as I think is kind of the case for most church youth works. But I'm excited to hear other things that people have done, if anyone's had any other ideas or experiences. What next for us? I think we're really thinking, how can we use the time that's been generated from the ministries we've got to reevaluate how effective ministries are being? And I would really love, which we'll talk about a bit later, but for some of our outreach to be stepped up a bit or look a bit differently. And there's been some ideas that have been rattling around in my head for about, you know, 9 years. And so actually using that as a springboard, we're hopefully going to start some smaller groups with young people who aren't Christian, but really working intensely with them to build relationship and community and introduce them to our community and the God who we love, and hopefully they get to know Jesus that way. But really the goal is just to spend time with them and love them.
Cool, thanks Ollie. For my context, I lead both and oversee both the kids and youth work at my church, but as a church we're quite non-traditional in every sense of the word. So we are, I think we're 8 years old now. My vicar's gonna tell me off for getting that wrong if I'm wrong. But yeah, we've only been going a few years, and we're sort of an Anglican church plant, but we're very non-traditional in style and format. When we were meeting before the pandemic, we were sort of meeting cafe style around tables, and everyone who's sort of part of our community is sort of open for things changing all the time. So I think that gives like a really good context for like what comes next for me, because I kind of feel like I've got way more opportunity to like do something totally out of the box, like new, without very much like without anybody slamming on the brakes and saying like, oh no, wait a second, you can't do that because that's not how we do things here. So for me, like I think context is everything, and like I appreciate that some people will be in a totally different boat than me, and some people will be part of churches who don't like any change, and like will, you know, people who have particular seats they sit in, people who like are used to the routine and things being exactly how they are. And so yeah, for me in terms of what's next, like during the pandemic I've sort of been open to trying a whole bunch of different things with my kids and youth. So obviously most of that, 90% of it's been online. But every term I've sort of changed what we've been offering to do with what I felt like their needs are and stuff, and talking to parents, and before Christmas did a little questionnaire with our youth to find out where they were all at. And it was a little bit inconclusive with our youth because they're like all over the place and each of them has different needs, but it enabled me to kind of be like, okay, we can like do if offer a few different things rather than just do one thing for youth this term that we've been in. I've offered like quite a few different things to try and hit where each of them's at. And so like moving on, what's next? Kind of, I don't really know what our program or schedule or format will look like. Also because we're a plant, like we haven't got our own building. So I think it will take us a lot longer to sort of transition back to in-person stuff. We've done a couple of things already, which have been amazing. Like we had last week, we did a youth social. We had a bonfire on Good Friday and had 8 of our 10 youth come along, which was great. And Easter Sunday, we did like a families thing on Easter Sunday in person in a field. And so those two things were cool and like had quite a good take up from people. But I think like it will get take us longer to get back into a routine and a rhythm of hiring spaces that will allow us to go in there, that can be COVID safe and kind of long-term Sunday bookings. I don't know when we'll be able to get back into a place that will let us be there every Sunday. So I think that those kind of restrictions will hold us back a little bit in terms of what we want to do. For some people, I think it's going to take them longer to be happy with doing things in person again, because there's going to be a lot of anxiety there and fear and worry, and just like weirdness for people of like experiencing strangeness of like being around people again. So I kind of feel like we have a bit of an opportunity, maybe more so than other churches, to have like a longer transitional period where maybe we try a few different things. Some things will work, some things won't. And we'll kind of try some things to see what the future might look like. And things might look similar than they did before in terms of like what we do on Sunday morning and who that's for and who it's aimed at, and whether we do a separate kids group on a Sunday morning or whether we do that at a different time in the week. I think all of our plans are sort of up in the air at the moment, and I'm okay with that. Which for someone who's like really planned and detailed, like I think that's quite unusual for me, because normally I like to plan far in advance. And but this whole last year of the pandemic, with not being able to plan very far in advance at all, like I've kind of settled that argument with myself to know that like life isn't like that and can't always be like that.
Yeah, I wonder how many other people there are as well who've just given up on planning in advance. I tried really hard for the first half of this year, and things kept changing and plans kept getting cancelled, and I kept thinking, right, that's it. We're just gonna, whatever. I don't know what we're gonna do next. Let's just carry on. So that's definitely a stage I've been through. I think probably we've all been through different stages of grief with our youth work.
There's different like contexts as well for other people, like who I know some churches have stopped all of their kids and youth work and haven't really done any or much at all during the pandemic. So I kind of feel like some people probably feel like they're going to be starting from scratch when they whatever they transition into next. Like some people I know like have lost all of their team, who have like taken a step back and they're not sure if they're going to come back or get back involved again. So there's like all sorts of challenges that we'll face moving forward, I think. And that will be slightly different for everybody with different contexts. But I think we all have a unique opportunity to kind of take this time as things slowly open up again and restrictions get lifted to sort of think back, how were things before? Like what has gone well, either for us or in other people, for other people in similar contexts, maybe, if we haven't been able to do anything for the last however many months, but there might be other people like us who have. So we might be able to sort of learn from some of their experience. But we have an opportunity, don't we, to kind of try some things and refresh things. And as you said, Ollie, some things will be better, some things will be worse. But thank goodness we have a chance to sort of put some stuff out there and see if it works and not hold too tightly to it, I guess. But I think as well, like from my own, like I'm looking forward to having a little bit of time to reflect and listen like, to God. What are we trying to do with our kids and youth work? Are we trying to build a relationship with them? Are we trying to disciple them? Are we trying to provide a place where they can go while the adults have their teaching? Like what are we trying to do? And yeah, I think once we can answer and dig into some of those questions, we're in a better, much better place to think like what goes next when we know what we're doing it for.
I think that's been one of the biggest opportunities, that the pain of this kind of time for our ministries. I mean, obviously people have a personal pain and stuff, but I just mean in ministry that it's been painful. Some things have had to stop. Some things have been stretched and not what they were, and really hard work. Some things have been easier. I love first early days. I loved that mute feature on Zoom. I made the most of that. And, you know, like closing the laptop and being done and being able to go home and see your family. But I think one of the biggest opportunities is this idea of being able to, where you've had the pain of ministry having to stop or slow down, to think, what are we doing? Why are we doing this ministry? Because I don't know about everyone else, but over time, things just morph to the path of least resistance, or the thing that you've done it for years and years, and you can sometimes forget what it's for. And is it actually the best way of doing things? So I think that is a really cool opportunity. I'm going to try and make the most of that without chucking a load of stuff out that's good, but also being like, what's this for? Is it the best way that I can do it? And yeah, are there different ways that might be better or at least worth a go?
I think for us as well, like I'm thinking about like some of the like silver linings of the pandemic and like of doing things online. Like there's obviously been negatives as well. Like it's online, if we're honest, isn't as good as doing stuff in person, is it? Like, if we're really honest. But like, there's been some silver linings of like a couple of my youth live like not in the same city as everybody else. They come to Milton Keynes for church and for youth stuff, and so I feel like it's been more accessible for them to be involved in it without them having to drive half hour, 40 minutes to get here. And like, if I think about what my youth attendance was like before the pandemic, when on a Sunday, when we'd do youth stuff, Sunday morning, we'd be getting like 3-4 young people who were like consistently attending and getting involved in it. Whereas when we've done stuff online, like because of the accessibility of people just being able to tune in wherever they're at without having to go anywhere, like we've had more consistent attendance than we did before. And I know like that hasn't been the same for everybody, but for us, like that side of it has worked. Could we do a mixture of like some online stuff with the combination of some stuff that's in person? And like, what might that look like? And what would we do online? And what would we do in person? And how can we make the best of both?
Yeah. And I think statistically across the board, numbers have dropped, haven't they? That's been a pretty standard. And if you're one of the youth workers where your youth work's grown, enjoy that, but don't tell other people about it. And if you're one of the rest of us where your numbers have gone down a bit or stayed the same, it is what it is. And it's one of those opportunities, I guess. It's given young people a chance to think, why do I come to this youth stuff? Yeah. What's the point? And hopefully it can spur us on to start re-engaging and to deliberately step out and maybe do a bit of outreach. I don't know for everybody else, but the hardest part for me during this time running some youth ministry is working with young people we don't know. Partly because of GDPR and safeguarding and stuff. You can't just send out random friend, like Instagram friend requests. I'm pretty old. I verbalized that like a Facebook friend request because that was the social media when I was a lad. But, you know, just, yeah, it's very difficult to get to know young people. Mm. You know, they're not bringing their friends in the same way that they were. And so actually, I feel like now is a good time to launch. So when things are starting to go back to less restrictions and moving about and interacting more normally, personally for me a big priority will be how we do our outreach, because it's been on the back burner, because we haven't done anything about it for almost a year, and it's one of those fresh opportunities. As a plug, also going to try and start a learning community for anyone else who's wanting to do that. So if you're in Oxford area, Oxford Diocese, or further afield and you just want to join in, I'm sure that'd be fine. But trying to think, how do we do that well? Because some of the time I just don't know how. I just don't know what the best way is to interact with people who we don't know. That's a weird thing and a difficult thing to do, but I think is important. And so that's going to be an area of focus, definitely for me. And I think the space in ministry that's been created, hopefully, yeah, I could see this being one of those silver linings that Becky's talking about.
Yeah. I think as well, like we have, I guess, as well as the opportunity for outreach, there's like an opportunity to do more stuff multi-generationally as well, which I know a lot of churches translate that as an all-age service, but it doesn't, like, that isn't the only format that can take. And I kind of feel like there was something that was mentioned last week at the when I was tuning into the Renew Normal conference with Youthscape, and they were talking about the fact that, like, there's sometimes like a lot of excuses people can use to do stuff like across generations, because like youth are at a totally different stage of life, or, you know, older people perhaps might not feel like they have anything to give to younger people because they feel out of touch or that they haven't got any relevance or whatever. But this whole last year, like, we've all experienced the pandemic, like, and yes, like, obviously as individuals we'll all have a slightly different take on that and perspective, but we've all experienced it over the last year. And I kind of feel like there's a unique opportunity perhaps within that to cultivate and give opportunities for healing and processing that together. And perhaps looking at how we can do that across multi-generation work, whether that's an all-age service or something that looks a little bit different, but how can we provide those kind of opportunities where we can admit that, yeah, we've all gone through the same thing, and there's probably stuff that we can all share with each other that will be useful and helpful and inspirational, that comes out of that shared experience. Like I mentioned earlier, that we're all at different stages with our teams and stuff, and like, there was one point during lockdown one where it was like coming into like the end of June, and I was like, man, I've got another month of doing everything. Like I was doing like 5 Zooms a week or something, trying to do like all of our kids' work, all of our youth work, all of our volunteers for our kids' work sort of like dropped off because they were all working from home or had kids at home or like had other stuff. So I didn't want to burden anyone by even asking if they wanted to get involved. I was just like, I've got this, I can do it. But it got to that point, like towards the end of that summer term, where I was like, I can't keep going and doing all this stuff. Like, I'm going to burn out if I do that. Like, it kind of helped me to, I guess, review a little bit. It's great to have a team, but also like it's been a really different year this last year. Like, and people as well, obviously, are at different stages to, like, some people won't want to take on anything new now because they kind of feel like they're at capacity, and like other people might be actually really excited to take on something new. So like everybody will be at all sorts of different stages with like what they want to do next and stuff they're excited about as things reopen, I guess. We have an opportunity to inspire other people to get involved.
I was going to say that. I think like one of the things is where there's just this kind of stayed old ministry, it just keeps going. That can be really cool and continuity, but I think where we lose excitement for something, then no one else wants to get involved. I remember being at a meeting and someone stood up and they said there was this thing that existed, which again, I'll be general, nice and vague. And they were like, no one's coming anymore. And if you don't join, it's going to die. And I'm like, oh, what a great advert. Like, I did not want to sign up because I don't want to go to something just to stop it dying. If it's rubbish, I don't want to be a part of it. And in some ways, it's a bit of a metaphor for the church. Like, everybody join, otherwise we'll die. And everyone's like, no, thanks. And actually, for us to get excited about something and have a vision and a passion and be like, do you want to join in? And that's kind of, you know, a bit fairy tale, but that's surely how it should be. Like, I'm excited for my youth ministry, and I hope my team are too. And they're there to support me, and they're there because they're good people, and they're there because they love the young people and they want that work to happen, and they know that if they're not there, it won't happen. Like, that's the sort of youth ministry we run. But like, hopefully they're excited, hopefully they're passionate about investing in these young people's lives and seeing Jesus work through them and getting to be a part of that. It's an exciting ministry, and I think now is a good time to remember that and help other people to see that and get joined in. I've been really blessed by our team. They are absolutely incredible. The ministries I'm concerned about are the ones that have had to stop during the pandemic, and then people have, you know, got used to not having it and have filled their time with other things that they're equally passionate about and are really good. And to then come back and be like, hey, you want to come and do this again? I think will be a hard ask.
I guess like we probably have all sorts of different emotions that we feel about like the next step as things get loosened and we have a bit more freedom over what we can do. Like we might have fear and anxiety over what comes next. Like, and I know I've been a little bit used to like being at home all the time, and as an introvert, I've kind of loved it. So I'm not really looking forward to, like, I'm looking forward to some things, like being able to go out and meet people when I want to and go to meetings and stuff. But also I've kind of enjoyed the excuse of not being able to. So I kind of, like, for me, there is a bit of fear anxiety in me, I think, to go out and for life to be as busy as it was before. Because I've kind of got used to things being at a bit slower paced and being able to have excuses not to do things that I've like not wanted to do. But that sounds really bad.
That's what we're going to get out of this podcast. Just say no to stuff that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Unless it's volunteering for youth work, and then say yes.
Yeah. But also like, in the midst of all of those feelings that we have and young people have and like that are out there in the community, I think there's still like a proper need, isn't there, for youth work and kids work to happen. Like the need hasn't gone. If anything, there's even more need now than there was before, because people need hope. They need to know that like things are going to get better. They need to know that they belong as part of a community. They need to know that they matter. They need to, you know, we still need to make disciples. That call hasn't gone. So like in some ways, like it could feel like a proper mountain that we're about to climb, and like that we don't really know how it's going to happen. Like, how are we going to build another team? What are we going to do next? Like there's sometimes it can feel like there are a lot more questions than there are solutions. But at the same time, like in the back of my mind, I'm always reminding myself like that we're not doing it on our own. Like we don't do any of it on our own. Like God's with us every step of the way. Like God always provides the resources that we need, the people that we need to do what he's called us to do. And so like, however scary it might seem going into this next stage, like we always have to lean on those truths. Like it's not just us going out there to do it on our own, or us, you know, going up in front of the church to ask for volunteers, or just us making the plans for what goes next. Like he can help us with all of those things.
Yeah. And also we need each other. So I said that like people need hope, it's going to get better, but I guess for some people it won't get better. Like people who've lost jobs and like have lost loved ones and things like that. Like life will carry on, but it might not get as, you know, I'd imagine a world where you have a high flying, super successful, well-paid job. If that industry's collapsed, it might be that it never gets back to those peaks for you. But actually we have a hope that's eternal and outside of that stuff. And we need each other. I think we need each other. We need God for sure. And we need each other for that. And so, and that's another one of those things that's sort of maybe been an opportunity here. I've been on lots of Zoom meetings for youth networks, and you'd never have gone to some of these meetings if it wasn't for the fact that it was on Zoom, partly because you have a bit more time and also because you don't have to drive somewhere. You end up being like, actually, yeah, no, I need these other youth workers, whatever the support network is. Like we need each other. And that's partly why I'm wanting to kind of start that learning community for people looking to do outreach. That's why Youth Work Plus, we do networking and outreach and support, because it's been an even bigger reminder that we can't do it on our own. It's just not, it's too hard. It's too big of a task, and it's better. It is just better if we work together and look out for each other and steal ideas and pray for each other and realize we're not total failures, and also realize we're not Jesus, you know, Mark 2, you know, we're going to get stuff wrong. We're going to get stuff right. And it keeps us humble and keeps us from despairing, just hanging out with each other and chatting.
Yeah, I think we're stronger together, aren't we? Every time. Yeah. Like when we weren't supposed to do things in isolation, but do things united. And I just think magical things happen when we do stuff together.
Yeah.
I don't believe in actual magic, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think so. In our ministry, it's been great for us. We've ended up, I was a full-time youth worker, and we've now got me part-time because of the part-time work at the diocese, and then two other youth workers part-time. And although it might be a bit, it seems weird to have like bitty youth workers, it's so much better. The church is getting so much more for its money than when it just had me, and I'm happier, and it just works so well. And obviously that's not an opportunity that every youth worker, you know, youth and children's work, you're probably the only one in that employed capacity, because most churches can't afford to employ more than one, if at all one. And so we get used to working on our own, but actually there is team and there is support out there. It's maybe just hard to find, but hopefully if you need that, get in touch, and we can hopefully link you up.
Yeah, we'd love to connect with anybody who does youth and kids work, whether you're local to where either of us are based, at Oxford or Milton Keynes, or whether you're further afield. Get in touch with us, and yeah, we'd love to have a chat. We'd love to offer advice. We'd love to get you involved with one of the networks that we run, or tie you in with a local network, or hook you up with some other people that we know who do youth and kids work in your area.
Hear your advice, hear your stories, yeah. Like,
totally
get to know each other.
Yeah. I think, like, I'm kind of, I guess I feel kind of mixed feelings. I probably feel like 70% excited for what's next and like 30% nervous.
I feel 100% not apathy, but just, yeah, I don't know what's next. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I am nervous, but I feel like I've got out of the place of being able to prepare, even though I quite want to. And I just feel like, sort of in limbo.
Yeah. I was going to say, I guess that's why it's so important to like make the space to like think about what we're going to do next and let God refresh that passion in us for youth and children's ministry, so that he speaks into whatever goes next and fills in all the holes where we need more energy and need more wisdom and need more clarity and need more guidance for what we're going to do, so that whatever comes next, like, we're allowing him to equip us for it.
Cool.
I guess that seems like a really good place to end it.
Yeah. That sounds good. Do we want like an official sign off? No.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Listen again. Stay safe. And
we'll be back.
Thanks for tuning in.